This morning, if you received the email this week, you would have seen the title of the sermon was Resurrection Hope. And that's still the heart behind it. But I also had been listening this week to Timothy Keller. And in an interview that he gave a few years back, he said, if Jesus really resurrected, everything is going to be okay. And he talked about many things in there that I will come back to in a little bit. But he said, if Jesus really got up and walked out of the tomb, if he really appeared to his disciples, if he really resurrected, everything's going to be okay, no matter where you are today. Today we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a passage where Paul talks about the resurrection and talks about the hope that we have in the resurrection and why. And just to set it up a little bit, in Corinth, you had people in the church who were from a Jewish background who understood the Old Testament and had an understanding that there was going to be a resurrection, a general resurrection in the end. They didn't know about this particular resurrection of Jesus, but a general resurrection of the righteous in the end. But then there were also people who were Gentiles with Greek thoughts and ideas where they didn't believe in that kind of a thing. They believed in the immortality of the soul, or they believe that when you die, there's nothing, which is not that far off from today. You get different views on what happens when we die. And so when Paul writes this, there's been a debate going on within the Corinthian church about whether or not there actually is a resurrection. And the debate centers around whether or not we, followers of Jesus, will resurrect with him in the end. And Paul then starts at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, and I have on the screen starting in verse 3, but I want to mention the first thing that he does in the first two verses is he reminds them of the gospel that he preached them and that they believed. And then he launches into what he's written and what I'm going to read for you here. The gospel he preached them and that they believed. He's reminding them of the gospel, and central to the gospel is the resurrection. I can't look up there. There it is. Okay. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That means dead, not just they're resting. Then he appeared to James, who was the brother of Jesus, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one of the untimely birth. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the reminder of the gospel that they believed. And we're going to go on and read a little bit more here, because this is where the problem arises. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is worthless, and so is your faith. Ooh. In that case, we are also exposed as false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile or meaningless. You are still in your sins. You're hopeless. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ or died in Christ have perished. If our hope in Christ is for this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all people. He paints a pretty bleak picture. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but to each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to him. This is the word of the Lord. The first thing that jumps out here is that the resurrection is so foundational to what we believe, to our faith, to our walk with Christ. Paul calls it, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." It's like the things that need to be passed on to the next generation that you just have to make sure you get out there. That's what Paul says is of first importance, is what this creed that he gives them, that Christ died and he was raised from the dead according to Scripture. It's so foundational that, as we read, if Christ has not been raised, their preaching is worthless. What I'm doing right now is worthless if Christ has not been raised. And so is our faith. Our trust in Jesus is worthless, meaningless, means nothing if Christ has not indeed resurrected. Anyone who says that Christ is resurrected, the Bible essentially becomes a false witness if Christ has not been resurrected. Our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. We are still dead, lost, held captive. And that means people should pity us if Christ has not been raised. That's how foundational the resurrection is. And there is a movement out there today that would say the resurrection doesn't really matter all that much. That's not true. The resurrection is so foundational. That movement would say things like, what really matters is that we just follow Jesus' teachings. But all of Jesus' teachings were pointing us towards what he was going to do on the cross. Yes, we are to live like Jesus, but it's because that he has risen from the dead and he has conquered sin and death that we are even able to follow Jesus in that way. The resurrection is so foundational that if Christ has not been raised, we are hopeless. We should just pack up and go home. But Christ has been raised. That is Paul's point. Christ has been raised. And the resurrection, he says, is biblical. The creed that Paul gives them there, the creed that I'll read to you again, which is up there actually, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This tells us that the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus, was foretold in the Old Testament. In fact, we can point to specific passages in the Old Testament, like Isaiah 53, that talks about the Savior being pierced and crushed and dying and buried. We can point to passages that talk about his resurrection. We can point to these passages, but it's more than just a few passages here and there. The fact that Paul makes these This isn't according to a scripture, it's according to the scriptures. It means the entirety of the Old Testament, all of the salvation history that is given to us in the Old Testament from the time humanity sinned and rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, to God choosing Abraham and saying, through you I'm going to bless all the nations of the world, down through Israel being enslaved in Egypt, being freed at the Passover by God's mighty hand, and becoming a nation and falling away from God and crying out again, and all the history of Israel that we read, that if you grew up in church, you've heard these Sunday school stories, every single one of those points us towards this climactic moment of Jesus' death and resurrection. So when you turn to the Old Testament, you're not just reading stories that give us a good moral teaching of how we can live. You're reading stories that point us to Jesus. So if you're in your Bible reading right now, I don't know where it falls at this point in your Bible reading plans, but if you're still in the Old Testament, which is, you know, if you're starting at Genesis, you're definitely still in the Old Testament. Remember that as you read, you're reading a book that points us to Christ, to his death and resurrection. And yes, there are passages that are more explicit than others, but the pictures exist there throughout, and it's preparing our hearts for this moment when Jesus resurrected. So the resurrection is not just something that happened out of nowhere. The resurrection was always a part of God's plan, and the resurrection is biblical. This creed also teaches us that the resurrection is historical. It's historical. Jesus appeared. He appeared to people. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a parable that just teaches us some sort of spiritual truth. It happened. In fact, a spiritual resurrection would not have ever been a problem for the Greek people or the Roman world. They wouldn't have had a problem with the Christians so much if they were saying, oh, just a spiritual resurrection, which is sometimes said today. No. They were claiming that Jesus resurrected in the flesh. They walked with him. They touched him. They ate with him. He was resurrected in his body. Jesus made many appearances, and we read in this passage that he appeared to Peter and the 12. That's the ones, the original disciples, the ones we call the apostles. And then it says he appeared to 500 people. 500 people at one time. And when he says something like, many of them are still living, he's basically saying, if you don't believe me, go check my sources. Go check my sources. Now, it would have been a long trip from Corinth to Jerusalem, but he's saying that. You can go, if you don't believe me, go check my sources. However, some of those people would have probably spread out to the regions around Corinth, because when Jesus resurrected, people saw him who were pilgrims in Jerusalem who then went home. So there are probably some people, maybe even in Corinth, who they knew about. We don't know for sure, but that's a possibility. And he appeared to James and to, it says, to all of the apostles. Now, he's not talking about the 12 here. He's talking about other church leaders, not the apostles, capital A, but just the leaders of the church that were around at that time. He appeared to all these people. And they all went around proclaiming Christ's resurrection wherever they went. And really, all we have to do is look at the book of Acts and compare it to the way the disciples are in the Gospels, where they're a bunch of boneheads who get everything wrong all the time and occasionally are half right. And they transformed from cowards who ran away to people who boldly proclaimed the gospel wherever they went, proclaimed Christ's death and resurrection to the threat of imprisonment, torture, and death. Every single one of them went to their death proclaiming the good news of the resurrection. They didn't just bend under persecution or torture. No, they kept proclaiming what they had seen. And a book we have in the library called Cold Case Christianity written by a homicide detective, will say it doesn't take much to get people to confess. And in the Roman world, where they didn't have limits of like human rights to get people to recant their testimony, the Christians did not recant their testimony. The witnesses did not recant. But then he also appeared to James, who was the brother of Jesus, who didn't think Jesus was all that great. My brother's at the back of the room. I think he's okay. But, you know, sometimes brothers get, you know, and when you got one brother who's being called the savior of the world, you might get a little jealous and not like that so much. And he didn't believe until he saw him resurrected. And then he became a leader in the church and proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then Paul, who says he was the worst of all, he was going around persecuting the church, trying to snuff it out as best he could. And then he saw Jesus resurrected. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life completely changed. His transformation does not make sense unless Jesus resurrected, unless he actually saw him. Because he was on his way to go arrest people, haul them away, torture them, maybe even have them executed. But instead, he willingly faced all sorts of pains, imprisonments, tortures, and even death, proclaiming the good news of the resurrection. So I say all this because so often today we do hear questions about the resurrection, but we have good reason to believe the resurrection actually happened, if not just because of the information we have here and all the other information that we could go into and we don't have time for today, but we can proclaim that the resurrection actually happened, because if it didn't, this is all meaningless. The resurrection is so foundational to our faith. But with the resurrection is not just the historical details. It's not just the reality that it happened, it's that it's also a promise. It's a promise. And I have up there, for in Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive. But in each his own turn, Christ the first fruits. Now in the ancient world, there was a practice of offering up the first fruits of a harvest to God. And this process of offering up the first fruits was a guarantee that the harvest was going to be great and plentiful. So Jesus' resurrection is a guarantee. It's a guarantee that if we have faith in him, if we trust in him, if we follow him, there will be a time when we will be with him. We will resurrect with him. We will be freed from even the effects of sin. Not just freed from the penalty of sin, but freed from the effects of sin, which are many. They can be our own broken hearts, physical infirmities, strife, all those things. We will be freed from them. The resurrection is a guarantee that as all creation cries out for its restoration, that God will redeem his creation and create a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dwell with him forever. The resurrection is a promise. When Timothy Keller was interviewed, and he said those words, if Jesus really rose from the dead, then everything's going to be okay. He had recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he said, when his wife and he pray and mourn the times that they're going to lose together because they were facing his death, he said, we cry, we wipe our tears, and we say, everything is going to be okay. And then we cry some more. And then we say, everything is going to be okay. So what Keller goes on to say is that there is nothing, intellectually or based on his experience, that would make him think anything other than Jesus got up and walked out of that tomb, that he really did resurrect. So he could say, even in the face of whatever he was going through, which at that time was facing his mortality, that everything is going to be okay. If Jesus really resurrected, everything is going to be okay. So I don't know where everybody's at today, but I know people are dealing with heartbreak, with health issues, with maybe even family concerns and issues and uncertainty of all sorts of kinds. But if Jesus really resurrected, and like Keller, I am convinced from everything I've investigated, from everything I've experienced, that Jesus really did resurrect. So I can say that even though you might not see it right now, everything is going to be okay, because one day you will see your Savior face to face and you will dwell with him forever, where there'll be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. Jesus is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the testimony of the apostles that has been recorded and written down for us and preserved for centuries, for 2,000 years, that tells us about the resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in your death and resurrection there's forgiveness of sins, that in your resurrection there's victory over sin and death, that we are not still in our sins, that we do not need to be pitied, because you did indeed resurrect. And so we have hope. And we can say that everything is going to be okay, no matter what we're facing today. I pray that you would strengthen us in the truth of the resurrection, that you would give us joy in the face of all sorts of things, whether good or bad, knowing that you have resurrected and that you are indeed with us. We thank you that we can gather together today to celebrate the fact of your resurrection. And I pray that each one of us, as we go throughout this week or year or whenever we face any sort of uncertainty, we would remember that everything's going to be okay, because you got up and walked out of that grave, defeating death. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. In your name, amen.